can't do the kit.
Got a kitty in the studio.
Best meow in the game. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus of release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep sinful stasm out of your head. Can you feel it, Shane Radcliffe?
I can definitely feel it.
And I'm Jib Jesus. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. See, I can say state governments now because our fiend overlord is not here to go, stop saying that, bro.
You might get punished tomorrow. Might just be delayed.
He's going to come in here with the furries and go, I told you to stop saying that. You can't control me now. Well, we could probably get stopped by Russian hackers, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
everything
so.
Everything I don't like is Russian hackers, right?
Yep. The kittens ate up my toilet paper roll. Russian hackers, they did it.
It's clearly the Russian hackers. So we might as well just talk about this because that's been like the story lately. Because you know, the media is having a meltdown right now, and it's funny watching them react to everything. You know, and everything is Russian hackers. Everything is the alt-right. Everything is So the flavor of everything is wrong with America today falls upon the desk of the Russian hackers, which allegedly is part of a big ploy by Putin. I mean, even if it was Russian hackers, there's no way to know if it was directly linked to the Kremlin. But
yeah,
the Democrats think this, right?
Well, yeah, doesn't everything come through Putin anyways? Isn't it everything just top-down control? So maybe it's possible, right?
It's like the USSR is back in control. Like they control everything. It's all their fault, right?
Yeah, I guess. And I haven't really, I mean, I've obviously seen it come across fascist, but quite a bit, but I haven't really looked into it all that much. I do listen, I decided to, I don't know why, I kind of regret the decision sometimes, but I listen to a local status radio on the way to work and class and things. And so yeah, the only really viewpoints I have on this are from like Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and folks like that. So obviously they have no bias on the subject whatsoever.
No. They're completely objective observers.
Yeah, completely objective. When Rush will like go on like 10-minute tirades against the left and just like praising Trump. But yeah, I guess you can't really be surprised about that.
Yeah, I haven't listened to Rush Limbaugh since 2012, and that was because it was like the only kind of thing on at the time, and I just really wasn't comfortable using up my data to listen to LRN.FM when I'm driving around. But now that's not the case. I can listen to it now. But I've been listening to a lot of like Ben Shapiro and Andrew Klavan, which are like they're conservatives. But I do kind of like their perspectives because they're so like, yeah, I'm a conservative, but I'm not just going to like regurgitate all the GOP talking points of the morning like Hannity and Rush Limbaugh do. You know, they set the table and everybody else just regurgitates what they say. And it's pathetic.
But, yeah, you know. Yeah, that's definitely true. And if Rush is going to cover something, I mean, that's kind of like, yeah, that's on the conservative agenda for the day. So you essentially get from each of these different radio hosts, you kind of get the exact same narrative and the same line just with someone else talking.
Yeah, like in 2012, I remember Rush Limbaugh. I don't know, you could probably fill me in since you're listening to him still, but I remember he was like, the Russians are terrible people. And I just don't understand why the liberals love them. And now it's like the reverse. Now it's like,
yes,
oh, that's, Russia
that's actually,
is wonderful.
That actually came up today. Yes. Yeah, that actually came up today. You know, no joke. I actually heard something like that today. Wow. Yeah, spot on, mate.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the and then of course the Democrats aren't, you know, any less hypocritical. Now they're like, oh, Russia's terrible, but in 2012 they were like, what's wrong with Russia? It's not the Soviet Union. These guys are still living in the 80s. Like, better bite your tongue now, huh?
Yeah, and I saw something come across my newsfeed today, and it was apparently like before the elections, because I mean, people kind of I did too. I thought Hillary Clinton was going to win for sure. I thought it was just a done deal.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
and before the election, I think it was a tweet from somebody that said something like, "No, the Russians can't hack the voting booths." Just a month later, and the narrative's changed. Because they lost.
Yeah, and it wasn't when they were asking them originally why they lost, it was 100% consensus with the Democrats. It had nothing to do with the leaks. It had everything to do with the Podesta email. Or no, not the Podesta, excuse me. The Comey email. I'm getting my corrupted officials mixed up.
No shortage of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was the FBI email that came in and says, "Oh no, we're reinvestigating everything," like right before the election happened. And then he was like, "Oh no, everything's fine. We reviewed everything." And so it was that they were blaming it on. It had nothing to do with the hacked emails. In fact, they were pretty sure that the narrative that these are both fake and illegal to have because they're authentic emails at the same time. Those didn't have an effect because they convinced the public that they were, you know, they weren't real, but they were real enough to be legal, I guess, to own or possess or read them. So
and I mean you can't really be surprised that they instantly, I mean, it was even like right after the election, I remember they were kind of some of the media outlets, like in the first year or like before like it was coming down, before Trump got the nomination, the media was giving him a lot of airtime, like playing his speeches in its entirety and stuff. And it was kind of odd for that news agencies to say, you know, we might have screwed up there, because you know they don't like to take responsibility for anything that they do, because their welfare status. But I mean, that was kind of surprising. And then just flip forward like a month, and it's nothing's their fault. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that there was a whole bunch of corruption within the DNC. It didn't have anything to do with I don't know, bad campaigning. I think Hillary took off a lot of time in the month of August. I mean, there's just so many things that they just didn't take responsibility for, which we can't be surprised about as libertarians and anarchists.
No. Yeah, and the corruption was so blatant. I mean, like, what was it? I forget her name. She was like the interim chair for the DNC for a while. She was basically leaking questions for to the campaign for the debates.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. And of course, CNN's not covering this, but you know, they're spending an enormous amount of time on Pizzagate, because Pizzagate is like their little pet issue. Like, oh, see, look, it's clearly fake. So we're going to spend all of our time talking about this scandal so that everybody forgets about all the fake news, the actual fake news that we were producing at the same time, because this one is so demonstrably false, you know, just on the face of it. A lot of it's just conjecture and just kind of weird, like a lot of it's hoaxy too. And then they could just go like, okay, look at this. This is all the fake news that got Trump elected, but never mind the fake news that we were producing to try to get Hillary elected at the same time. Yeah. So I guess, what was it, John McCain came out, I guess, like it was during a speech or something? I didn't follow the story.
It was on Face the Nation, I think it was. It was just like a minute and a half clip.
The Nation, right?
Yeah, Fash the Nation, yes. but he essentially just said, you know, I think there's some strange things going on here, and there needs to be an investigation, because the Russians could have definitely had a hand in this election. And that was kind of the long and short of it. But it was just it wasn't really surprising, because you obviously, I mean, I know I saw the establishment Republican, which it's kind of looking like Trump's kind of an establishment Republican too at this point with some of his cabinet selections. But but yeah, I don't know. It wasn't really surprising, but just something I don't know. It's funny to kind of watch the Republican or the Republican Party kind of disintegrate, it seems. They're really having a hard time agreeing on anything at this point, it seems.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard from one of my buddies at Salon that a Republican president will probably not be elected in our lifetimes anymore, because it's so terrible for them. We're so progressive in the current year. But, you know, there's a good chance that the Russians actually did play a role in this. It's very possible. I'm not just completely discrediting it outright. But how much of a role they had? Probably very little. I mean, it's only people like us, you know, people kind of on the fringes, people who are really kind of paying really close attention to this, that really were really acknowledging what was going on with the Wikipedia email stuff, because it was not really covered that much on the mainstream media unless they absolutely had to, which was like towards the end. They only covered it like a little bit, but at the same time they were saying, "Oh, it's all fake. You know, don't worry about it. It's all fake." So it's only like us that were really paying attention to it. You know.
I definitely do. And I guess one of the issues, and this is one of the Communist News Network articles, CNN, on, it was just kind of like the layout of it, because I really, like I said, I didn't really look into it too much. I wanted to read their little write-up on it. But they make the claim investigators found digital footprints of individuals tied to the Russian government who had been on intelligence agencies' radar before, but they don't provide any proof for that. And then another, and I'm not defending Trump here, because obviously I don't do that sort of thing, but obviously the media outlets and the FBI, I think it is, they're making the claim here. And in this article, they say Trump hasn't offered any evidence to counter the CIA claims other than to insist it's a political effort aimed at delegitimizing his electoral victory, also without evidence. Well, it's not Trump's. It's not Trump's duty. I mean, Hitchens razor here. He who makes the claim bears the burden of proof. So he technically doesn't have to say anything about it at all. So I don't know. You really can't be surprised about that either.
Yeah. And his reaction to it is kind of dumb, politically speaking. I agree with it, to an extent. Like, there was some minor issues wrong with it, where he said that, this is the same group of individuals who, frankly, said that there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Okay. We can't believe him. Not entirely true. They said that he was trying to get a hold of weapons of mass destruction, and of course the administration was like, oh, see, that's proof that he has it. You know, let's go and bomb him. But you know, even if it was true, it's kind of like, well, you know, that doesn't really kind of discredit what they're saying now. You know, they could actually see like, you know, like, oh, there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Also the sky is blue, but it's like, it doesn't discredit the fact that the sky is blue, right? You know, that's a false way of thinking about it. But the CIA is not offering any evidence of this at all. You know, they're just
CIA, my bad, not FBI.
Was it the FBI, or I think it was the CIA?
CIA, you were right, yeah.
Okay, so the CIA is, the FBI was saying there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I'm not sure about the CIA. I think the CIA was saying that, you know, that it was alleged that they were trying to get a hold of it, but I don't know. We'll talk about this further when we come back from the market, so to speak.
Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
What about the Russian hackers? I mean, we talked about that for the end of that segment, but
wrap it up a little bit.
true.
In a nice little package.
Yeah, put the sadist bow tie on top.
While I'm burning coals in my table. Long story.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's kind of funny watching them kind of be hypocrites. Both parties are being like total hypocrites about Russia. Like, oh, Rush, like in 2012 to the Democrats, you know, Russia's not bad. Like, why were you even talking about this? He was a democratically elected president. Like, he's you know, Putin's a wonderful guy. And, you know, this is just a bunch of, you know, fear mongering, the leftover from the Soviet Union era. Like, they're still from the Cold War. Like, come on. And then the Republicans were like, oh no, you know, Putin is an evil dictator. Those elections were, you know, fake, and I can't believe we're not even talking about this. And now it's like current year. Oh, the Democrats are like, oh, why are we, you know, like, why are we allowing this evil dictator to control our elections? Like, the Republicans are evil. Republicans are like, he's not a bad guy. Not a bad guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely strange. But I was telling you this during the break. So, like, let's say it does come out, and like Russia had a major, we'll say worst case scenario, they had a major influence on the election. It was a total sham. Well, I guess, or it's a sham already, but to mm-hmm. us. But like, let's just, it comes out as like a total sham. They had major influence. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, is that going to like? The Western powers like to spread democracy across the Middle East. Are they going to try to save democracy by save democracy here in America, or which is kind of a wrong way of looking at it when it comes to presidential elections? But nonetheless, I mean, what's going to happen? Is there going to be war with Russia? Are they going to redo the elections? I don't like it's. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I really don't know. It's
The Democrats want a do-over. They also want to, the left in the UK want to do over for the referendum to get out of the EU. Like, that's their solution to everything now. It's like, oh, we just want a do-over. We lost, we'll just do-over. All these people are clearly regretting it, even though there's no evidence for that. They're clearly regretting it. What's the other thing that they've been saying? Like, oh, the Electoral College is, you know, it's all about slavery. It's not. You know, it was all an effort to preserve slavery. Actually, if anything, it was used to kind of prevent slavery from being so ingrained in it, because the Southern states didn't want the Electoral College because it can help them run roughshod over the smaller Northern states, right? And, you know, those Northerners, they're the ones that really wanted slavery, right? No. you know, if you look at it, it actually, if the historical precedents was, you know, the slave owners actually didn't want anything. They wanted the popular vote, you know, because they had more people. And they could also say, like, oh, we have more slaves, too, and those count as people. So we're definitely popular vote should be. should be.
Yeah, but, and it's kind of funny too. Obviously, the left foams at the mouth when it comes to democracy, and I'm sure you've seen some of those charts where if the Electoral College was not in place, then a handful of cities would determine who was president. Now, I don't like, obviously, yes, like one man, one vote, or one, like, I gotta make sure I kept it, one woman, one vote too. I mean, still, it would be that, but it would only be a handful of cities determining everything. So I still think that was undemocratic in one sense, because it kind of it's tyranny of the majority, though. I mean, that's what democracy is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. They'd probably still call for a recount if they lost and it was determined by the popular vote, too. So I don't know.
And they would have campaigned completely different. Like, they just would have spent all their time in L.A., exactly, New York, Chicago, you know, and Trump would have been running. You know, since he's a populist, he probably would have been trying to appeal more to the left, you know, rather than spending his time in BF or Beast Lick, Wyoming. Beast Lick, I don't know, what is this, Iowa. You know, he wouldn't have been spending time there.
Yeah, true.
So true. There's no really telling what it would have been. But the whole thing about the Russian hackers, it's possible they could have played it. They could have done it. But how much of a role it played? Very little. The evidence so far, almost nothing.
That's one of the issues I have with the article. They don't actually tell you what the evidence is, and they probably won't until they finish their investigation. And at that time, people will forget about it or something. Thing on the news cycle. Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah.
Or who would be sworn in rather? But yeah. That's our new scapegoat.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that if it does come out that the Russians played a major role, and like the whether like the propaganda, hopefully there's not another year and a half of campaigning. Total rebuild.
No, please, God, no.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
You know what I hate about CNN the most? About their website is that they have these autoplay videos.
Oh yeah, I know.
And I don't
cookies galore.
I just want to I just want to look at this article. I hope it doesn't play. All right, so speaking of CNN, what's this article you linked me about?
Well, I came across this today. I don't remember how. But yeah, it's again from the Communist News Network. And it's titled, These Are the World's Worst Tax Havens. So I think the radio for the worst. Yes,
so, I mean,
the worst.
Like, they're the places that have the highest amount of taxes. You definitely don't want to save your money in because they're the worst, right?
Well, actually, no. It's worst. CNN put a subjective value judgment on that. Worst tax havens just means that corporations are avoiding the theft by government. So
they're actually
worst...
the best tax havens.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to,
I mean, it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's not really a subjective thing. It's if it's the worst tax havens, they're the places that you definitely don't want to put your money in because they're going to get taxed. You know, by the federal government of the United States, or the government, or both of the country. So the best tax havens would be ones that you would put your money in where they wouldn't get taxed.
Exactly.
I think they're doing it wrong. Objectively doing it wrong. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh yeah. Oh no, you're fine. You're fine. But yeah, I guess they're just I'll read a little bit of the article, and then there are a couple of things I want to point out specifically. But quote: the Netherlands, Switzerland, and Ireland are among the world's most damaging corporate tax havens, according to a new report by Oxfam. And yeah, you mentioned that. It's good that we clarified that, because I mean, some people might be confused by. Well, they shouldn't be confused by the position of CNN. But anyways, just for purposes of clarity, quote: Oxfam researchers said. Governments around the world are slashing corporate tax rates and allowing extreme forms of tax dodging in order to attract investment. They warn that this race to the bottom is starving countries out of billions of dollars needed to tackle poverty and inequality. So,
yeah, it's been working so well since the 60s, right? This war on poverty has been working fantastic.
Well, yeah. Anything the government declares a war on, things get worse than that war. Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So,
how's that war on drugs going?
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Okay, let's see. I'm not going to read this entire thing, but Oxfam ranked the countries by looking at their tax rates. They also considered whether the countries offer unfair tax incentives. That's interesting. Considered whether the countries offer unfair tax incentives and whether they cooperate with international efforts to curb tax avoidance, for example, by agreeing to increase financial transparency. It said Bermuda is the worst, with Cayman Islands second to worst, and the Netherlands
worst.
Third. Yes.
They're
so that means that. Yes, so they're and yes, they're the best. Yep, they are. Let's see. In
this
response
is
to Bermuda,
double speak territory.
It is. It is. Yes. Yes. So yeah, I think we should emphasize that a few more times when going through this article. It
double
said.
Plus good.
Oh yeah. In response, the Bermuda Business Development Agency said the report ignored the island nation's unique trade and finance structure was based on flawed economics and lack of understanding. So they're calling about for their flawed economics. Oh man.
They should listen to Paul Krugman more.
No, they need to read some Economics 1 lesson by Henry Hazlitt, and they need to fix their economics before they start projecting onto other countries, if you ask me. Let's see. There's a couple more quotes here. Quote, ordinary people, particularly the poorest, are paying the price for this reckless competition. Reckless competition. Wow. Through increases in personal taxes and cuts to essential services such as healthcare and education, said Esme Burkhout, Oxfam's tax policy advisor. Let's see.
Actually, cutting education would be a good idea, even if you are of the opinion that tax money is good, these social services are good for education, because there's no correlation between more money for education equals better results. It's never been the case. They kind of use as an argument to fail up. Like, oh, look how bad our education system is. We need to dump more money in. And then when we dump more money in, the quality goes down, and they say, well, we just need more money. And, of course, all the money just goes to faculty anyway.
Yeah, and you also look at too. I mean, I don't remember the statistics, but like $10,000 or $15,000 per student in public schooling. But you can for homeschooling. I mean, you can. I remember like $2,000 or something. Like, you can do it for free too. There are a lot of free curriculums out there. So more money equals a better education. No, I know some homeschooled kids, and one of the Fiends co-hosts, Nick Hazelton. He's doing. He's doing a lot better than a lot of the. A lot of my peers in a higher level indoctrination, i.e. college. There's definitely no correlation there. But just one more quote here. Quote, governments must work together. Well, that's scary. That's super scary. Governments must work together to stop this crazy race to the bottom on corporate tax and ensure companies pay their fair share.
And I think they need to work together to promote this race to the bottom. I think that's a good idea.
I do too.
Race to the bottom of government. Sign me up.
Oh man. So yeah, there's that. But yeah, just the socialist rhetoric throughout is quite funny and not surprising. I don't even know what this Oxfam is. I'm gonna Google that real quick. It seems like they make special note of the UK.
Oxfam is an international confederation of charitable organizations focused on the alleviation of global poverty. But you know, like. What doesn't make sense is like the money going into the system in order to pay out. That doesn't really follow. I mean, sure, they'll cut services every once in a while, but when money just doesn't come in, they just borrow it. You know, they just borrow it from the Federal Reserve in some respect, or just put it into the debt. Because these things are, I forget what the term is, but when they do budgets, those are the things they cannot cut, is all these social safety nets and stuff like that. So all this money is still going to be paid out to the poor. It's not alleviating the poor. And it's not the reason why there's still poor people. It's because we just aren't taxing rich people enough, and they're using these offshore, the worst offshore havens. It's because, you know, they're dumping all this money in, and then they're paying most of this money that they're dumping into these social services aren't going to pay out to people who need it. It's going to white-collar bureaucrats who are sitting in line saying, next, no, you don't qualify, next. It's those are the people that most of that money's going to. I think they have like an 80% overhead in most cases, which is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you consider, and there were some figures, there's some figures in there about how corporations pay back billions of dollars and things like that. Just imagine if those corporations, I'm not a big fan of the corporate structure, not from a lefty perspective, but just that it socializes the debt onto the taxpayers when businesses fail. You consider all of that money that the government's taking back, and then, you know, once it funnels through all the bureaucracies and it funnels down to the actual poor in these programs, I mean, what, so 80%, which is a random number, like 80% waste, 70% waste, whatever it is, when I that money, they could reallocate it a lot better.
Yeah, it was just somewhere around the 80%. That's just the metric that I use. I don't know if it's 100%, but last I checked, it was somewhere in that range. So if it's 78% or 82%, who cares?
it's roughly, yeah, exactly.
80%, depending on the department, so... And that's where all that money goes, overhead.
Yeah, and even with private companies who, you know, they may keep 20% for them, like 20% to fund things and to have a salary so they can do all that work. I mean, yeah, it's not going 100% to that, but it's a whole heck of a lot better than shifting that onto governments.
Yeah, when you look at charity, like, it's the reverse case. Like, it's like usually 20% overhead, and 80% goes to whatever causes that they're pushing. And, you know, unless it's invisible children, then it's like a government program where it's like 80% overhead. But
yes,
I don't know. I just it hasn't clicked with everybody yet. Like, you've had these programs working to alleviate poverty, and the only thing that it's done is increase poverty. If you look at the timeline of the amount of people who were in poverty or extreme poverty in the United States, it's been on a steady, well, I don't think we have extreme poverty, but it's been on a steady decline ever since the 60s when we had the great The Great Society programs under LBJ, and then you can just kind of see it coming back up, because now you're creating a dependency class where people are just like, well, why do I need to work? I'm going to get all these programs, and if I make too much money, then I'm not eligible for programs. So if I'm working for, $8.25 an hour, and I'm getting all these programs, well, as soon as I earn $8.29 an hour, well, then I'm going to lose all these programs. So you're actually making less when you earn a raise. So people are incentivized not to get raises, not to get promotions, not to work up the corporate ladder or any ladder at all, because they're being incentivized and subsidized not to be, and that's horrible. It's so terrible.
Yeah, it definitely is, and then you have people going out and protesting for minimum wages and blaming companies for not paying enough not paying them enough in wages, and sorry to inform you on this, guys, but it's not the business's fault. It's actually the government with their Keynesian economic policies.
Yeah, and how much. What is the hourly wage that you really need were there no taxes, or at least heavily reduced taxes? Income, not just income tax, but Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all those things. And not to mention all the corporate taxes that you pay when you buy a soda, right? You're not paying for what it costs them to make the soda plus a little bit of profit. You're also paying for the company's corporate tax, because the corporate is a tax on the business, and the business isn't going to pay that tax, right? You're paying for it. They just up the price.
Exactly.
So you're going to pay for that, and you're also going to pay for all the taxes that they have to pay for employees and all that other stuff. And now the Obamacare mandate, where businesses are basically helping to pay the cost of healthcare. Well, now that they're having to pay that, you're also increasing the price of goods. So all this stuff that they pay for, how much money do they really need at the end of the day if they were just to have their taxes reduced? I don't know, 25%. You know,
it'd be a lot. No,
Yeah.
Exactly.
Alone 100%.
I lost my train of thought. But when it comes to things like Social Security too, and I mean, I don't see a whole lot of old folks out there protesting for an increase in minimum wage. But for these younger folks, my fellow millennials, which I'm kind of not happy to be a millennial, but
I barely escaped that trap.
Yeah, I mean, Social Security. I mean, it's expected to run dry from the SSA, is it? Social Security Administration. The SSA predicted it'd run out by like 2036. So millennials, you guys are advocating for these programs, and you're not even going to see a penny of it. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, Social Security will not be solvent.
Nope, definitely not.
But the market will be solvent, and that's where we're going to go right now.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very smooth segue, right?
Hopefully.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
These are the questions that keep me up at night.
I can never sleep.
Occupy Democrats. I remember way back when there was a YouTuber that I used to follow, and it was only because he kind of had like an interesting perspective. The guy was going to school for political science, so he really knew his stuff. And I disagree with him a lot. But, he was all for guns. He was very, very pro Second Amendment. So, I mean, for a liberal, that was pretty interesting to have that kind of perspective. But anyways, he did like this whole thing about why, as a liberal, why being liberal was like one of the worst pages ever on Facebook. This was, I think it was before Occupy Democrats came along. And he was like talking about like one of the examples he gave about how dumb it was they posted this thing about the Tea Party. And they were like, oh, yeah, like, oh, we're just a bunch of crazy liberals, huh? Well, you know who else was a bunch of crazy liberals? People who were the Tea Party. And like, he was like, you do understand the meaning of the word liberal has changed after the progressive era in the early 1900s. It's a completely different term. If anything, you're basically saying we're libertarians. And you don't want to be called that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Ludwig von Mises. I mean, yeah, the classical liberals, the free market economists, back in the early 20th century and such. Yeah, classical liberals. Yep. The word's been so verbicided, it's sad.
But speaking of that, you had a interesting story.
Yeah, so I don't know how this got. Well, I mean, I don't know. Spontaneous disorder, right? Everything spontaneous. But somehow, some individuals decided that they're going to message and see how quick they could get banned from the Occupy Democrats page, or blocked from the Occupy Democrats page. And it's funny. This is an article from Liberty Hangout. There was them and Being Libertarian, two pages on fascist book that decided to do this. And it reads, "Quote: In a weird turn of events, the ever so tolerant multicultural melting pot brewing, binary gender fluid accepting, pro-civil liberty loving humanitarians at Occupy Democrats have taken to banning everyone that has a dissenting view from them. Well, the page is their private property and they have every right to kick out anyone they desire. If a conservative or libertarian page were to do the same, they would surely consider it fascism to silence dissenters. But it's okay when they do it, of course. Occupy Democrats has racked up more blocks in the past day than Dikembe Mutombo and Hakeem Olajuwon could have ever hoped to achieve in their entire careers combined." There's basketball players.
I don't know who that is.
Basketball players. Here are some good examples. So some of these are a little small. Let me get to my other screen so I can actually zoom in. Okay, this one was this was the PolitiFact, a progressive leaning news outlet. Their file says that most of their actually all of their stuff is essentially false or half true. Someone posted that message in there or posted that link in there and said and before they could send the taxation as theft one, auto blocked. And I'm guessing, yes, that was what someone said. There's no way that they have someone monitoring all those texts, all those messages. There's no way. So they probably just have the auto ban thing on. So if you mention anything on that, it'll just automatically block you. So another one is, I have an idea on how to rebrand Democrats to speak Americans, to speak to Americans. The message should be taxation is theft. Think it will resonate with America? Blocked. Let's see if there are any other good ones here. Did Hillary Clinton delete the wage gap seeing how it didn't exist, or was it the Russians? That's a good one. That's a good one.
Blocked.
Is it true that you ban everyone who disagrees with you? Blocked. Hey, I have a question. That was just the initial message. Hey, I have a question. Is taxation blocked. Theft blocked? Before that even went through. So yeah, they went on a little bit of a blocking tirade. Block me if you're a freedom hating communist. Blocked. just endless ones. They just collected a bunch of those posts on there. But I thought for a moment, because when I was a constitutionalist back a couple years ago, I know bad socialist life. Ew. But I even went on there and like posted Ron Paul stuff, and I thought it was the Occupy Democrats page because I was blocked from one of those. But I think it might have been the Being Liberal one, because I went on the Occupy Democrats one today, and apparently there was another thing opening up, and there were people were mass posting taxation is in the comment threads, and there's no way they could have kept up with it. So hopefully there's going to be some deprogramming and some status, but we'll have to see. We'll be right back.
Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 on the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. And by the way, it was just updated, so now the mailmen simplified. Now the mailman can use it, which is fine. Right. Like the Edward Snowdens of the world can use it, but no cops. Cops go home. Cops suck. Hashtag.
Yeah. not anyone carrying guns and terrorizing people, essentially.
Right. The ones that are just, you know, fixing stuff, contractors or... that sort of thing. Anyways, so you had some news stories, which I don't have up because I had the Fiend intros up.
All good. So
I'll let you pick from the wheel of fortune, the wheel of failure, the wheel of statism.
Okay, I can handle that. I can handle that. And I'm sure you heard about this story, but this is from Faux News, otherwise known as Fox News to most of you folks out there. It's a VA hospital.
Watch Fox News and CNN to get a balanced perspective.
Yep. That's the claim, at least. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I make sure I get my news from multiple outlets.
Yeah, just Fox News and MSNBC because I want to get a balance. I'm a moderate. That means I'm right. Okay, go ahead.
Or NPR. 13,000 children were just bombed in Syria. And next, we'll go to health. just in the calm voice, like when they're reporting terrible things. But anyways.
Hello, everyone. So we have this wonderful recipe that's going to be given to us today. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's grass-fed beef mince pie. And we're going to go over to our resident chef for the directions.
Very good.
What's that one lady who sounds like she had a couple of strokes?
Oh, gosh. I know who you're talking about, too.
She's almost sounded like a Katharine Hepburn. No, go ahead.
There was one really nasally lady on there. I can't remember what her name is, but she was, yeah, I would listen to her just like to keep me awake while I was making long trips for work. But
wow.
Anyways.
She must be one of the more entertaining ones. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to make sure I interrupted.
No problem. So that's what we're looking at here. VA hospital left deceased veteran in shower room for 9 hours, report fonts. But that's not all, folks. Let's get into this article a little bit. Oh gosh. Quote, an internal
this
report.
This is what the left wants. Like, they want socialized medicine. This is socialized medicine in the United States. VA.
Yep, there's a perfect example of it. Exactly. So, quote, an internal report blames staffers at a Veterans Affairs Hospital in Florida for leaving the body of a deceased veteran to decompose in a shower for 9 hours and then trying to cover it up. Man. It gets worse, but I don't know how it can get worse than that. But anyways.
It does.
The 24-page report concluded that hospice staffers at the Bay Pines VA hospital, I keep wanting to say Virginia, VA hospital failed to provide appropriate postmortem care to the veteran's body, Fox 13 Tampa reports. The report found hospice staff put the veteran's body in a hallway and left it there for an unspecified time, the station reported. Staff then put the veteran's body in the shower room and did not check on the status of the decedent for over 9 hours. The report also found that a staff member then falsely documented the incident, Fox 13 reported. A lot of Fox 13 reported in there. They could have just posted the article. The investigative report said that leaving the body unattended for so long increases the chance of decomposition, of course. Let's see. We got a quote here. The report details a total failure on the part of the Department of Veterans Affairs and an urgent need for greater accountability. Representative Gus Bilirakis, Republican from Florida, told the station.
Better thugs in there controlling everything, and it'll make everything great again. Go ahead.
Just better. It's
tremendous.
Better. Yeah. Better central planners, and everything will be okay. Yeah. A total failure. You know, I don't know if I could have chosen a better word to describe that. So, yeah, Gus did a good job. Good job, Gus. You did it, buddy. oh, man. But, yeah. I guess the, let's see. I don't think, let's see. Yeah, the hospital, or the NM veteran died in February after spending time in hospice care. The hospital's administrative investigation board ordered retraining for staff. So retraining for the staff, just consider if this happened in like a private hospital. I mean, it wouldn't, because they have incentive to, like, you know, treat their clients well and such. But these employees should be really happy they work for government, because the first thing that they could do for accountability, if they're serious, is fire the employees that covered it up. But
yeah,
but no,
we just need to retrain them. They're wonderful, tremendous people. They just need better education, frankly.
That'll solve everything. That will solve everything. Yeah, but socialized healthcare. I mean, this is what the folks are so afraid that, this is what the left is so afraid that Obama or that Trump will dismantle. You know, Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So.
I've seen people let go, because I work in healthcare. I've seen people let go for rather trivial things, especially when in comparison to this. I mean, just minor cases of neglect, like someone didn't put down a resident's name in, because we split the residents up according to all the different nurses and stuff. And if one is missed, we notice it halfway through the night and, there wasn't care given for like a few hours, that could be grounds for termination. Not to mention, if something like this would happen, like, not only would you get fired, you'd probably have your license revoked in any private system at all.
Well, yeah, and
work in nursing ever again.
Even less than that, companies have policies on how many times you can call into work and such. Like, even just that, like, that minor of a thing can get you, or taking late lunches consistently, like, very, very minor things can get you fired from a private business.
You keep forgetting to punch in and out, like, we're going to have to let you go.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But hey, if you work for the government, leave a veteran deceased in a shower for 9 hours, and we'll just give you some more paid training.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, we can't have this. There's flies. We need to control the flies. So this is how you control the flies. If this ever happens again, now you guys know. Problem solved, right?
Yeah, that's definitely definitely
the government solution right there. Yeah.
But this isn't, this isn't like an isolated, specific atrocity. This is like, this is the first time I've seen this come from a VA hospital, but I haven't been paying too much attention to it. But yeah, like this atrocity is it's the only time I've seen this. But I mean, you look at all of the other really terrible reports. Didn't a bunch of veterans get shot up with, like, I don't remember, something happened within the past couple of weeks. There's been a lot of instances of mistreatment and, veterans waiting for treatment for months and months and months and months, because socialized healthcare and such, and then just dying before they can get the treatment. So it's a terrible, terrible system. But the solution to the problem of government is always more government to these folks. Yeah. For some reason, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's not logical. It's not rational. But
it's failing upwards. That's how government works. Like, they fail up. Any other system, any other private system, like if I mess up at my job, they're going to either let me go, they're going to do disciplinary actions, they'll suspend me without pay. They'll say, like, you did something wrong, you need to be punished. Where in the government's like, oh, you did something wrong, apparently that means you need more money. That's what that is. So anytime something fails, if any time a department fails in
Fiend phone.
Meeting a demand
phone.
They were
this
supposed to do.
Is the Fiend phone unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency system, or furries. Shane, have you experienced a furries yet?
I have not, unfortunately.
Damn. You're most improved player, man. Sorry if you guys were, like, you know, lamenting our fallen soldiers. I heard it. I think it's done, unless you really need to talk more about it.
I would just mention end of my sentence, which is, when government fails, it gets a pat on the back and more money. Fails upwards. Okay.
Nice. I came up with a good one today, too. Is governments want a monopoly on everything, including fake news. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, they do.
Shane is, like, most improved player. You were, like, the guy most likely to be fired a month ago, and you're the guy most likely to replace anyone I fire now. Do you know that?
Really?
Do you know about the point system? Have you heard about the point system and how you're ahead of everyone?
No, I'm not aware of such a system.
Well, you've gone down 1 point, because that means you didn't listen to last night's show. But you're still ahead of everyone else. I know you got exams, so I'll give you a pass. But basically, there's a point system now, and because I'm Jim Jones, apparently, I've been told that by Nikki Darling, which actually she gained a couple points for telling me that. You'd think the opposite, but she gained a couple. So you are way ahead for a couple reasons. One is once or twice you've written me and said, hey, Michael, I see there's a show coming up in a few weeks that only has you as the co-host. Would you like me to join you on that show? Yes, you're on. Done. You know, and like that easy with no wrangling. Mm-hmm. That helps me a lot. And then I found out by accident that you are a stellar freaking proofreader. And I tend to write long, rambling things that, you know, they're a lot better proofread than most things most people write. But still, in a 30-page document, there's going to be 19 or 20 typos. And you find them without, like, you're a good editor for me. It's hard to edit for me, believe it or not. Most people are like, of course it is. But, you know, because I do a lot of, like, weird things with language that most people think are a typo, and you don't. So you're winning, dude.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm happy to help. And yeah, I've read some of your stuff before, so yeah, I kind of know your writing style. And don't want to infringe upon your creative creative impulses, so to speak. Yeah. I don't know.
Juices. Creative juices.
Creative juices, that's better.
No homo. Yeah. It's good to be on, man. So I just did a quick interview with I don't know if I could say, but a popular blockchain type magazine. That I did
how many
thing about
bips did you pay
dot bip I didn't pay. That's, you know, it's legit if you don't have to pay.
Yeah,
but, you know,
of course.
I guess the dirty little secret's out, but that, you know, there's a lot of, like, greasing of hands in cryptocurrencies, but we did not pay to be on the exchange we're on. That's the one, like, you know, that's the biggest tier one that doesn't charge money, basically. So they like us. That's good. They also want to be the crypto note one. They're one of the few that takes crypto notes, and they want to take all the good ones. So good. Thank you for your support.
Crypto note. Listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp.
That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Best meow in the game.
You do have that. Oh. My wife has this, she plays like kind of puzzle games on her phone. You know, not like, she doesn't play shoot 'em ups or anything. She plays like things where, the one I know the name of is Klepto Cats. You guys familiar with it?
No.
Basically, you have a bunch
of
kittens and they go out and steal things for you. It's kind of cool and bring them back. And you do various things like, you know, go on adventures to get more cat coins, literally, to get the, you mine cat coins by playing little puzzles. But it has a few sounds in it, and it, like, one of them is a mew, like, that sounds exactly like our little, our kitten, Bob, who is recovering from surgery. Yeah. And she'll set it down and walk away, and it'll mew on its own. It's really weird because I think Bob's next to me and he's not. It's, I like it though. So I got a question and I'm asking for a friend here. If you, it's not me, it's a friend. If you found out that you needed a, you know, surgical procedure that was, you know, dangerous, and you were freaked out about it, and you told a friend about it, and he said, oh, I have a buddy that had that happen, and he ended up with his guts spilling out because his stitches broke, and they had to cut out 3 feet of his intestine. Is that a good, would that be a good thing for a friend to do to a friend?
Yeah, that's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, that's a little, yeah that's, yeah. You know, okay,
I hope he's listening. I hope he's listening because he was astonished when I asked him, were you raised by effing wolves after he told me that?
aren't you supposed to go into like a surgery with like a positive mindset? Like I've heard that before.
And that's not BS. It's they said the cancer too. Like anything that's a big health issue. The fact that I'm alive is because I have had a good, you know, over the past couple of years, even no matter how things got, I still kept a positive attitude. It's not like some magical fairy dust thing. It's like it makes you still get up in the morning and go to appointments and do things you need to do and take better care of yourself. So yeah, or even you do.
What if those people that go like, oh, my friend went to the doctor's once and he died.
Yeah. You know, it's like a really common one, like is when people say they have cancer or a particular type of cancer. I've heard over and over and over people say, oh, my grandmother died of that exact thing, but you'll be fine. Like they're trying to be comforting. Is that's not good, right?
Yeah, I'm not insane. Like they hear something and they go, where do I have a connection to this? I better say that.
Right. It's the Me Too thing. The Me Too thing. And it's also like, here's the lesson, people. Sometimes it's okay to shut up or not have something to say and just say, I hope you, you know, I wish you well. Even like that sounds corny. Whereas I know someone who died of that and their guts exploded and it was disgusting. Like, that's more interesting. You don't have to be interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah.
When somebody's having, you know, surgery, or a disease,
or like stage 3 cancer. You know, my aunt had that, and she recovered from it. So I think you can do it too. Like there's a positive swing.
Yeah, this guy's positive
breast
swing
cancer?
Was like
my grandmother had breast cancer. She turned out okay.
This guy's like positive swing on it when I yelled at him was, oh well, you know, I was trying to make you feel like, you know, to point out that that probably won't happen to you and that's rare, which he didn't even say in his first email. So to my friend that, you know, is having the surgery.
This is just libertarian Asperger's. I'm guilty.
That affects people who have Asperger's, but even people that don't, right?
Yeah. I don't have Asperger's, but I'm very socially awkward, so I kind of fall in those traps. And I sometimes I'll be like, oh yeah, never mind. Don't worry about it. Don't ask.
By the time you get 30 something, you start to figure out, you know, how to talk to people, to humans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
How to manage your disability or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I could have made some like crude joke to the guy about his libertarian Asperger's, but he wouldn't get it. That's the joke. Nikki made that joke last night, and I was like, it took me a second, but I got it, which means I don't have it. So, yeah. Humans and their machinations.
Yeah.
I just got a stack of bad audio is hate speech. Or is a hate crime. Bad audio is hate speech.
You just now got those?
State speech is a hate crime. I don't check my box very often. Wait, that's what she said. No, I don't check my P.O. box very often. One to two times a month, maybe three in a good month.
Because I remember that you were asking me for some more, and I was like, what, did you already run out?
I got them. I got 50.
Never checked the box.
I got 50. Oh, I knew I had it. No, I asked you, and you said to ask Jeff, and I did, and he sent them to my box 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, and I just checked it today. All right, we're going to talk about...
When we come back, I'll talk about RetroPie.
No, after I talk about sociopathy. It's more interesting.
Same thing.
I don't know what your thing is, but mine's more interesting. Oh, okay, then.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yes, you do.
So quick Jim, plug.
Did you invent this holiday or did someone else?
No, it was, this is a holiday invented by some ANCAPs in New York, and they do this every year. So this is our inaugural, first annual is crap. It's not an annual thing if it's the first one. It's an inaugural capitalismus, and you can learn more about it at, H3, that's Hotel3RemovalService.com. H3RemovalService.com. And nice. It's part of the Liberty on the Rocks thing. But the idea is you come, we all have drinks and whatever. Everyone brings themselves a wrapped gift for themselves. And then we all have just get opening ceremony. We all open up our gifts and we all exclaim, well, not together, but we each open it one at a time. And then when we open it, we go, wow, it's what I've always wanted. I shouldn't have. And then we all go back to eating and drinking. It's capitalismus. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And it's going to be December 20th. It's a Tuesday night at Aces and Ales Tenea in Las Vegas. So if you're going to be over there in that time, you should come check us
Although,
out.
I said it really didn't sound like capitalism to me. It sounded like objectivism. Yeah. How would you say it?
Objectivism.
Yeah, because I would think capitalists would buy huge, lavish gifts for...
They'd buy capital.
They'd buy capital. Here, son, 400 shares in AT&T.
Yeah, how do I open up a Bitcoin
You can put the wallet on a flash drive or...
Well, you can make paper wallets. Theoretically, there's software to make crypto note paper wallets, but we've been too busy with other stuff to actually implement it yet. But yeah, it would be what I would say would be on an encrypted hard drive. And again, I'm pimping this weekend's torrent that's going to come out Wednesday night after the show. It's the torrent files of the Fiends for the last 2 weeks. Usually Shane does it. I'm doing this week. It's going to include the good pre-government intervention, pre-word, we've been contacted by the government version of TrueCrypt, which is the actual, like, you can really encrypt stuff and carry it around in a drive, and if it gets lost, it doesn't matter, and it's easy to decrypt, and people can do that, because the government came in, and I explained it all yesterday. Go listen to it. I have too much to cover. So I wanted to say, too, the story about the guy saying, oh, my friend had his guts fall out and nearly died and lost 3 feet of intestine getting what you're going to be getting. I did not tell Jim and Shane, hey, I'm going to talk about this thing. Agree with me. I didn't even tell you guys. I just sprung it on you. And you are not guys, especially Jim. I don't know yet about Shane. I don't know him that well. But I know Jim would absolutely not lie. Like, if you thought I was the a-hole there, you'd tell me.
Oh, so, yeah.
So that guy was
no
a problem bit of a,
telling you that. I'd jump at the opportunity.
I'm not going to say he's an a-hole, but he was raised by wolves. If he thinks that's, you know, by libertarian, by Asperger wolves. All right. I don't know if the guy has Asperger's, so he shouldn't get mad at me. He wouldn't get it, though, if he has Asperger's. So, because that's how it works. So I'm out of Facebook, face beef jail. That's pretty cool. I was in for 3 days. You know, the thing is, I sort of had this plan to like rage quit, and I actually wrote an essay and had Shane proof it. Thank you, Shane. Did a great job. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think I'm going to rage quit, because here's what happened. The one day one, the Cantwell one, like I was irked. I was like burning to post. I kept going and forgetting I was banned and trying to post and, you know, getting the, you can come back in 21 hours. And, but when I was off for 3 days, I just got really busy. Well, here's what happens after three. I forgot. Like when I came back, I was kind of like, what's the big deal? And I was barely on today. You know, it's kind of like what it is there's always a conversation going when you're on Facebook. And people say it's addictive, but I found out after 3 days of not being on it, it's not really addictive. It's inertia. It's just inertia, man. And if you have to stop for some reason for 3 days, like, you know, Facebook jail from some weenie in Ohio, or, you know, like recovering from surgery, whatever, or in the woods where there's no internet for 3 days. When you come back, you're like, who are these people and what are they yelling at? This is ridiculous. So, you know, I think I can be on there, and I think I can have just one hit of face crack. No. Okay. So, oh, somebody sent a bag of D's, a bag of penises, a bag of gummy D's to Chris Cantwell, like moments after I sent the $20 and told him to go buy more Nazi marching powder to hasten his long march to homelessness.
His long
somebody,
goose step.
Yeah, his goose step to homelessness. That's it. Can we say who bought him the bag of gummy penises?
No.
Okay.
No, I asked hats this particular off to person.
You, sir. Hats off to
he'll,
you, sir.
He'll probably eat them on air, just like well, the, just
was,
the no, way that he
what
is.
What I was thinking was, you know, he wouldn't throw them away because he knows he's going to end up homeless. He's going to save him to eat when he's homeless because it's food, you know? Doesn't matter. It looks like penises. So, what
I
else
hope he got the glitter, because it also some of the options I was looking through, it was like they had like glitter. So wait, when it opens,
glitter bomb?
It spread. Yeah, there's glitter, yeah. All, and then it's glitter.
So the
all
funny
over
thing
the
is, so
gummy.
So the guy who bought the bag of D's like wrote me and said, you know, hey, I just got the message that they just arrived. This was today, and he was on. I couldn't respond. I was on Facebook, and I don't have his email. So you know, but Cantwell did reply to me. He thought it was for me on the Fiend's website. You know, like minutes after that delivery took place, or an hour after the delivery, there was a comment as if we don't know this is him. And it was from it was a VPN in, you know, China or something. And he was, it was in Illinois, actually, I think. But the person said, you know, something like, Cantwell has a lot more listeners than you. So you call him a loser. If he has a lot more listeners, what does that make you? And I replied, most when I realized it was a VPN and it was from anonymous, I replied, many of his listeners and most of the people that post on his site now are his sock puppets, including you here on this site. Hello, Christopher. So that was what I did with my time today. And then there's like the whole thing of the guy in Ohio who now is the guy who we cannot speak his name, and the programmer who was nutty to me. But the guy in Ohio, like, man, I don't even know what to say. But here's the thing that I realized about these people. These, you know what the funny thing is? Cantwell can take it more than the kid in Ohio. Like, you know, the thing I said about the kid in Ohio was like, boy, What a thin-skinned weenie. That was basically something like that. Like, it was that intensity, which is not intense at all. And he got me kicked off Face Beef for cyberbullying. What a puss. Yeah. But Cantwell, like, you know, I did memes about, like, him ending up homeless, blowing people in the bus station in Boston, you know. And I did, like, 12 of them. And he got me banned for a day, but, you know, that was it. He didn't even, like, report the rest of them. He didn't have to. So he has thicker skin, and he's more of a man and can take it
better than the guy. By the way, I would like to point out something that I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the claim that he gets more listeners is factually inaccurate. If you look at the the Alexa rating for both the pages, Fiends and his is way, 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 way lower. And on top of that, we're on LRN, so we have
lower meaning higher.
On top of that,
lower meaning higher.
Yeah,
Better. His is lower meaning better.
Yeah, his views, like the hits on the side.
Yeah, because it's lower.
Ranking is lower.
It's his 25 remaining listeners, half of whom are just waiting. You know why he still has listeners? They're waiting for him to eat his gun on YouTube live.
That's the only reason why I watch it. Yeah,
that's why I watch it. I watch it with the sound off, and I'm running a recorder in case in case YouTube takes it down, and I just clear the recording.
Have you ever seen that? But have you ever seen the chat on there? Unreal.
I posted on there the other day when he was. I have a screenshot. I'll post it on the show tonight at the bottom of the notes. It's me posting on the thread during his show when he came back from when he got his mics out of Hawk, and I think he did pawn his mics. He got his mics back, and he was railing against this woman who aborted his kid. I mean, can you blame her? First of all,
no.
You know? Second of all,
even if she was anti-abortion, I could see the rationale behind it.
Yeah. She was the Pope's daughter.
Like, I don't agree with abortions, but this one.
No, but here's. Yeah. But the thing is, if what I posted was, if Cantwell, if she hadn't aborted her kid, Cantwell would be a deadbeat junkie dad. You know, the people he calls a degenerate all the time.
Yeah. I remember there was some skit that he did where he was like, I'm going to go drive to see my kids. And he goes in front of
the dumpster at Planned Parenthood.
It's actually true.
So real quick. So I wrote this book called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. It's basically about, like, you know, recognizing abusive people that aren't the kind that break your arm. That's easy to identify, but the kind who, like, subtly, I call them soul mosquitoes and soul weenies and, you know, serenity vampires was the terms that DJ and I made up for that. And the serenity vampires is kind of caught on in a small way. And that book actually has a following. Like, if you search the title of it on Twitter and on Goodreads, there's, like, people I've never met who are not libertarian who love that book. But, the weird thing is, like, the kid from Ohio that got me banned, and the creepy kid from Ohio who's like a stalker lover to me because I returned his money, him and the programmer that was weird to me are both fans of that book. Wouldn't it be weird if what it really was they read that book and they loved the fact that I taught you how to do no contacts with people and cut them completely out of your life, and they decided that to have the full interactive book reading author experience, they had to be banned by the author of that book.
Wow.
Isn't that creepy? I mean, it's probably not true, but it's possible.
Why not?
A little bit. Now, I want to mention too, Michael, since you now are on you're on Fascist Books crap list, so to speak. You've been banned twice from Facebook. It won't take much for it to happen again. So don't make anyone too mad.
I want it to happen again because I need a break every once in a while so I can forget about y'all and be like,
bans will get longer.
I don't care. It's good for me. I don't have to quit that. I don't have to rage quit that way. I'll just take a 2-week vacation every 2 weeks. You know, it's fine. I got so much time. I wrote another white paper. I created another cryptocurrency that's got utility that no one's come up with. I have a new white paper that's 4 people have read it. They love it. No one else is going to read it for a long time until .bip is done.
It's definitely good.
It's going to be the steam coin to the steam it of .bip.
Only a lot more simpler.
Yeah, only a lot more simpler and actually works and can be explained.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
A brilliant man fell for some fake news by the Freedom Fiends. I'm kind of proud of this. Yeah. So Jim Jesus made this site called Fiend Ebooks. It's Fiend_ebooks. Go find it now on Twitter. If you Google Fiend Ebooks, it comes up top or second anyway. I looked for it that way at one time. But it's basically explain the ebooks phenomenon and then explain what Fiend Ebooks is, please.
Okay, so there was a Twitter account. It's defunct now, but what it used
still
to do
up,
was,
but it's not being updated.
Yeah, allegedly was was a project by an equestrian. Is that the right word? Equestrian book.
Yes, horses
distributor about books, and it was basically sending out random samples of books over Twitter, and then it started moving away from like one day. It just started talking about
it got hacked unrelated by like 4chan people, didn't it?
No, it started allegedly moving away from like books about horses about. To just general books,
yeah.
And everybody was like, "What's going on here?" And it turned out to be a project of someone from one of these BuzzFeed sites or something like that.
Yeah,
and it was basically
it was art
taking
it was Dada.
Yeah, it was taking Twitter tweets from other Twitter accounts regarding horses and garbling them up into these
yeah
weird
like things. One for, like kind of like Libertarians Against Humanity. It took one from Volume A, one from Volume like,
right,
one from the first part of someone's tweet and the second part of someone else's tweet randomly, and then that became a thing. And there's like software kind of open source to do it. Right, it's kind of complicated to use. You actually did it for the Fiends, and you made a list. It takes it from like 10 different fiends, some that aren't even on anymore, but I know Davi's one of them. You're one of them. I'm one of them. Is Jim one of them? I mean,
Bill Buford is Bill one Buford. Of the people that, yeah, it's one
he
of the,
is. He actually, okay. Yeah. So he wrote me and said, "Hey, Michael, I hate to tell you this, but I think that, you know, you've been hacked or something. Look at this site." And he sent me the link. And I think he thought it was, you know, he said it's nonsensical, but it's sort of, so, oh, you're looking at it now. So yeah, Bill probably saw brilliant. He probably saw like his words mixed up with in a nonsensical way, you know?
Yeah.
So
I made that one. I had one called Cuck Ebooks, and it was basically a compilation of like a bunch of alt writers, but they and keep Cantwell. Getting banned. Yeah, yeah, they keep it getting banned. I had to remove Cantwell because he kept getting banned.
You and got every time because they got banned too.
Yeah, once someone gets banned, it locks everything up. And so I have to go in and like edit, and it's a pain in the butt every time I do it.
Well, it
so
needs to be like free, like Fiend Phone is now to where bad packets just get dropped instead of crashing it.
Yeah.
But can you run Fiend Phone on Twitter? You should run Fiend Phone on Twitter. That would fix it.
Fiend Phone Ebooks.
You could take like every email of me screaming at me for not giving them fast enough free tech support for Fiend Phone and chop them up in a blender.
And then the it other does,
you know
I
what?
Had running.
Check this out. Okay, let's go full circle here. It's sort of inspired by the cut-up method, which was pioneered by William S. Burroughs, who we talked extensively about last night, who invented a poetry method in the 50s where he would type up poems that he wrote and then take a razor blade and cut them up. This actually influenced hip-hop, too. There's a long explanation you can go find on the web of how this influenced sampling, including hip-hop. This weird old white beatnik dude. Yeah.
Oh, this one's great. How a Libertarian Became a Zombie novel coming out in December. The Golden Rule. It defies the state falling apart. Like, it's just kind of nonsense.
Need some more. Just do that for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Also, FYI, the whole Congress needs to ellipses, and that's it. It's like, okay, well.
Hank took a pic with or leads to, and then the symbol for Soviet states. Oh my God. It actually has like the little Unicode symbol for the Soviet Union. Nice. USSA so far this year.
Hey, Shane, real quick, Oxford comma or not?
I think
I use it. Yeah. Oxford comma it? For sure. For
yes.
Me. Oh yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Oxford comma's best comma.
We start our own podcast. The Oxford comma Liberts.
Lol. No, I guess I'll have bingo.
So is it that rare of a thing? I mean, I know that we're all adamant about it, and people who like the Oxford comma, the extra comma after the and in a list in a sentence. Are we that rare, or do more people like that than not?
No, more people.
Well, it's just for any journalism thing. That's just it's Associated Press style, IP style.
Yeah, so I know. I have that book. I used to spank my wife with it.
This color on FTL is horrible tonight.
And Strunks too. Strunks is thinner. It's better. With love, spank with love. I mean, I'm talking play here, people. I'm not, you know. It's not like you missed a pair. You missed a ton of
votes. I should vote harder.